This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we're talking about cup noodles.
Indeed.
I'm really excited for this.
I am too, because when we talked about cup noodles, I was just picturing, like, the Nissin cup noodle, right?
This guy right here.
Yeah, yep. In like the styrofoam cup, or at least what used to be a styrofoam cup.
Still is.
Oh, it still is. But Matthew, you went out and cup noodles is a much bigger market than I thought it was.
I know, and I haven't tried hardly any of these. Okay, so first off, this was suggested by listener Chihiro.
Thank you, listener Chihiro.
And where do we even begin? Let's start with the name before we get into like the panoply of noodles. What is a panoply? Is that like
I think it's like a broad array.
Okay.
Or the a multitude.
Yeah.
A myriad assortment.
I got confused because isn't there like a kind of armor that's also called a panoply?
You know, we're gonna have to look this up in a minute.
Okay, yeah. What are some of your favorite kinds of armor? Let's save it for the armor episode.
Okay. Oh, God. You know my favorite part of the Met?
Of course.
Is the armor
Arms and
section.
Armor.
Yes!
Yeah, yeah.
God, it's the best!
Like, does it remind you of Crescent Market?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Except I just keep looking for like a tray of cookies nearby.
All right. So actually, let's combine this naming, the thing about the name with memory lane, because I used to bring these for lunch when I was in elementary school and would microwave them in the school microwave.
Yep.
And back then they were called cup O noodles.
Matthew, I was about to say this same thing. Like, I remember when I learned about these, they were definitely cup O noodles.
Right.
And it was absolutely the elementary school years for me. I can't remember if I put them in the mic. You're not supposed to put styrofoam in a microwave, are you?
Well, we're going to today.
Okay. Well, I seem to remember there being like a hot water dispenser, and maybe I could give my cup O noodles to the teacher and she would go to the hot water dispenser.
You know what? I think you're right. I think I gave mine to the teacher and like it came back with some magic done.
Yeah. But no, it was like all the rage when we were kids.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I wasn't the only kid who brought cup of noodles to school. And it was great. Like, I doubt it's changed much. I hope not. I don't think I've had like the basic chicken cup noodles in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping it really like tugs at the nostalgic heartstrings. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. So they dropped the O and just made it cup noodles in 1993. For an April Fool's joke in 2021, they claimed they were bringing the O back, but they didn't.
Why did they drop it?
I don't know.
You know what? There was a book. Oh, I feel like it was called like The Ramen King or something like
that.
Do you remember? I think that, wow, I can't believe I remember this, but I think the author's name was Andy Raskin.
That sounds right. Yeah, I read that book. It was kind of problematic.
It was very problematic. It was like a white man who's having trouble committing.
Yeah.
And he goes on a journey to learn more about the man who like invented instant ramen.
Wait, who we'll talk about in a minute. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, but I think he gets into the shift from cup of noodles to cup noodles.
That makes sense. And like there's, you know, the whole like Mandela effect thing. There are people who claim that there was never an uh-oh, but there was.
Oh, my gosh.
the most popular brand of these in England is pot noodle.
Really?
Which is fun
so
to
say.
So do
they say pot noodle?
They say pot noodle.
Okay.
They are, I learned a little bit about pot noodle. I learned that they're associated with lad culture, which refers to men being jerks.
You know, the other day, Matthew, I wanted to use a GIF on my newsletter.
Okay.
And it was a GIF of like a Kermit doll swirling around in a kiddie pool.
Nice.
But I saw that it had a little logo at the top that said Lad Bible. And I was like, absolutely, I'm not putting this on anything that is mine. No.
The pot noodle line in England is mostly vegetarian. So, like, there's, like, a chicken-flavored one, but it's artificial chicken flavor.
Okay.
So, I've never tried it.
Okay. Wait, so lad culture, is that kind of, like, just men being horrible?
Yeah, I think it's men. Just men being horrible.
Is that, like, boys will be boys?
It's a boys will be boys kind of thing, yeah. So that's my memory lane. Just, one more piece of memory lane for me. No, why don't you go first?
Oh, so I seem to recall
that was a really smooth transition, wasn't it?
God, that was great. In addition to Nissin brand cup noodles, there's also, like,
Maruchan.
And is that called cup noodles too?
It's called instant lunch.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Instant lunch.
I did not
Maruchan
get it.
Instant lunch.
Maruchan instant lunch. I should have. Yeah.
Those are the two that I remember, and I tend to think of them as being indistinguishable.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
And these things are cheap, at least like the American version. Yes. I think this was $1.
Yes.
And I'm sure back when I was in elementary school, it was probably like 20 cents.
You know, and I want to say that maybe this is obvious from the title Cup Noodles, but this episode is all noodles that come like in a package that you are to eat them out of. We're not talking about any like ramen packages that come in plastic wrappers.
Right.
Like,
we did an episode on that many years ago.
Yes.
And probably should again.
My spouse probably eats that kind of ramen like 3 to 4 times a week.
Yeah. I think I like have the idea that that's better in some way, but I doubt that's really true.
I doubt it too. But anyway, okay, go on.
So my other memory lane is that several years ago, a friend of the show, Becky Selengut, and I were in Osaka, Japan, and we went to the Cup Noodles Museum, which is run by Nissin. It's really fun. You like go through exhibits about like the history of cup noodles, and there's like a wall display of like all of the varieties that Nissin has ever made, which is hundreds. And then
so far, I'm not seeing how this is fun. Go on.
But I think it only costs like $12 to get in.
Hold on. I'm imagining like, is there like a room there where they've made like noodles out of like silicone or noodles that are like made out of like
and you can,
stuffed
like, get
animal
naked
stuff?
And roll around
well,
in
no,
them?
And they're like all hanging from the ceiling and you can walk through them like a beaded curtain.
Let's just say, yeah,
that sounds so fun, like a ball pit, but noodles.
They do have like a you know, a replica of the workshop where Momofuku Ando invented instant noodles.
Okay,
which is pretty cool. But the reason people go is like at the end of the tour of the museum, you get to make your own customized cup noodle and like you know scoop in like you know do you want like the little like dried meat chunks or the dried like fake lobster chunks, which vegetables you want and which seasoning. And then you design your own cup and like mark it up with markers.
Okay, that does sound pretty cool. Then do you seal it up and take it home with you?
Yeah. Oh, I brought mine home from Japan and ate it. It was good.
That's okay. That's pretty cool.
Okay, you want to learn a little bit about the history of cup noodles?
And then
we'll start eating some.
Okay.
There's going to be some slurping. So cup noodles were introduced by Nissin Foods in 1971 in Japan and were first marketed in the U.S. in 1973.
Okay.
And it's packaged ramen, like the kind that you boil on the stove that comes in a plastic sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
That came earlier. That was introduced in 1958. I tried really hard and like, you know, if you ever like Googled for like information on like business trends and just been like, come on, you know you have.
Oh.
I've seen your browser history. I tried to figure out whether cup noodles or packaged ramen are more popular. Could not figure that out. So, like, who gives a shit, right?
Yeah.
All right. Both cup noodles and packaged ramen were invented by Nissin founder Momofuku Ando. Like I said, I saw a replica of his like shack workshop at the Cup Noodle Museum. But cup noodles are easier to make because all you need is a source of hot water or a microwave, which we'll get into, and chopsticks or a fork.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting information. I bet you didn't know this, that these ones are easier to make.
I did. I did know.
I get the sense that the quality of freeze-dried ingredients has been improving over time. And we'll see, because I think the one that I've just opened up here, the Nissin chicken cup noodles made at the U.S. Nissin factory, I don't think it's changed much since we were kids.
Question. Can we just discuss like the basics of these packages? So there are these noodles. Are the noodles fried?
I think the noodles are fried.
Okay, so
I don't know if that's true for all of the varieties, but I think for the most part, yes.
Okay, and is that true with packaged ramen,
it
too?
It is. Not 100% of them. Like, there's one that we tried that we really like that part of their marketing is that they're not fried. The name's probably going to come to me.
Okay.
But generally, yes. And that was like the big advance that led to the invention of packaged ramen, that if you fry them, that they would cook up with a good texture in 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. I get it. Okay.
Because like if you just like cook noodles and then dry them, like they'll turn into mush when you reheat them.
Yeah. Okay. So when I look here in this cup noodles, for anyone who hasn't looked inside of one for a long time, you just pulled it
past the dotted line.
Shit.
Wow.
Oh my God. Do you have some scotch tape? We're going to have to tape it.
I forgot.
So basically, you know, I'm looking in this styrofoam cup. I can't believe this thing is still styrofoam.
I know,
right?
It feels really weird.
This is single-handedly responsible for climate change.
No, wait,
it says
on the cup, no CFCs.
I don't believe it. Can they make styrofoam without CFCs?
Oh, yeah, there are
now?
Other blowing agents. I just wanted to say blowing agents, but that is what it's called.
Like, sorry, I almost made a, like, your mom joke.
Yeah, your mom is the best blowing agent. Like, she's received, like, a whole bunch of medals.
Can't believe we just went there.
Oh, you can't believe you and I.
No,
just...
but we don't usually talk about our moms this way.
But
she's
been decorated for service to her country. Like, why shouldn't we trumpet this far and wide?
She should be proud. We're proud.
We're very proud. Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, looking in here, all right, we've got like a mass of noodles, and stop it! I'm talking.
Sorry.
And powder sprinkled on top, and then like freeze dried carrots and mm-hmm. kernels of corn.
We definitely need to try this one.
It was
first.
Really worth it for me to do that description.
No, you're right. I interrupted you, and that wasn't fair. I was going to talk on the the box of chocolates episode. What do you call it? Whitman sampler episode where we talked about, was that a bonus episode?
Oh,
I think
it was
Valentine's a bonus
Day.
Episode. Well, you should sign up, become a member, spilledmilkpodcast.com/donate. And then you can listen to that Whitman sampler episode where we talked about how like women working in the Whitman sampler factories would send notes to the soldiers abroad during World War II. And we were speculating like the notes were about like how many blowjobs you're going to get when you get back from the war.
Or maybe like it would be like, you know how sometimes,
you know how sometimes
clothing will have a little label that says like inspected by number 10.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or this would be like inspected by the number one blowing agent. Right?
Yes.
Were there no men working in the Whitman sampler factory? Because men can be good blowing agents as well.
Of course. Of course they can.
At all genders.
Yes, yes.
We're an equal opportunity
blowing agent
advocate.
I think like back during World War II, probably like more of the men were. I don't know. There was probably like one guy.
Men
working.
Were off being blowing agents at the front.
Yeah. Like, if I had been around during World War II, like, I would not have been wanted to be, like, sent off to fight because I would have been too scared. I would have wanted to be the one, like, straight guy working at the Whitman Sampler factory.
Of course you would have.
Right?
Yeah.
This sounds wonderful.
Okay.
Like, free chocolates and other benefits. Okay. should we like heat this shit up?
Yeah, right. Let's heat it up.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I wait? I want you to come over and admire my Japanese water boiler.
Is this new?
No, I've had it for a while.
Sorry, water boiler? Is that different from an electric kettle?
Well, it's designed for like serving tea in an office. Or if you go to a konbini in Japan, they'll have one of these for filling up your cup noodles.
Wait, is it this thing?
It's this thing.
I thought this was your rice cooker.
No, come visit it.
Okay. Okay, let's see. So this looks a bit like a rice cooker, but I'm talking loudly so the listener mm-hmm. can hear me. Oh, but it's got like a little nozzle.
Yeah.
And stuff. By
stuff
which I
comes
mean,
out, yeah.
A nozzle and
stuff comes out.
Okay, wait. Matthew, how
much? Oh, we need the timer.
Matthew, how much is this?
Oh, it's like $150.
And you bought this so that you wouldn't have to boil water for your tea?
Let's get back on the mic, I'll tell you.
Hold on, I gotta look at this. Do you keep it plugged in all the time?
No, I don't keep it plugged in all the time. I rarely even use it. So the
reason... Did you buy this for when you were serving tea at Facebook?
That's exactly right. I bought it for when I was serving tea at Facebook. So the weirdest job I've ever had was I was invited several times to the Facebook office in Seattle to serve tea for meetings there. And I would bring like several varieties of Japanese tea and matcha. And like after the first, like, you know, it was Facebook. So they're like, what do you want to charge? I'm like, I don't know. How about like $500 plus expenses? And they're like, okay, cool. I should have asked for more, first of all. COVID killed that business. I really thought they were going to like invite me to do this like every couple weeks and it was going to be awesome, but it was not meant to be. But like after the first time, like I got this check and I'm like, next time I want to bring like a water boiler so I can just like fill a bunch of pots of tea really easily. And like, so I, you know, took my check from Facebook to Awajimaya and bought this Japanese water boiler.
I'm sorry. If I owned this, I would keep it out all the time and I would literally, I would triple my tea consumption just so I could use it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like I make myself two pots of tea a day and I would just like think about the electricity it was using if I left it on. But like probably it doesn't take that much power to like just keep water hot that you've already boiled. I don't know. It's a really nice machine. It works great and they last forever.
And so you have it set to what temperature?
208 degrees Fahrenheit, which is the maximum. Okay. Yeah.
I have a Bonavita kettle that you can set.
Yeah. I love those too.
Yeah, it's great. And I keep mine set to 207. Yeah, with a gooseneck.
Oh, so I'm like 1 degree better than you.
Yeah. I'm impressed with how long this thing has survived. Like I use it at least once a day, often twice a day, and I've had it for at least 6 years.
That's great.
Doesn't that seem great?
So when you pour with the gooseneck, like I've been like eyeing those, but I'm worried that like for like filling like a mug of tea that like the gooseneck would be annoying, but like why?
It's not annoying.
Yeah, okay.
It's not annoying.
All right. I'm going to get one of those.
Great.
Okay. We got like 5 seconds left until we can crack into this classic Nissin chicken cup noodle.
Oh, wow. Okay. So. Oh, man. Okay. Woo! Oh, that looks good.
I remember this very mild aroma.
Oh, God. That's way more mild than I would think.
Is really, like, it does have, like, a kind of vending machine chicken soup smell to it, but it, like, mild is really the word. Okay, here goes.
Okay. Are you going to slurp? Yes, Matthew.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. This is exactly how I remember it.
So when you would take this to school, would you take a fork or a spoon or both?
That's a good question. I don't remember. I think there was silverware at my school. So hot. Yeah. But yeah, I want to say probably a fork. I want to say a spork, but I don't think I had a spork.
It's not as good as I remember.
It's not very good at all.
That's pretty, wow. You know?
I do think it's the same as when I was a kid.
I do too. It's
Afraid of flavor.
I must have been afraid of flavor too. That's really, huh. Wow, yeah, that's
yeah.
That's pretty bland.
What do you say? I mean, it tastes like kind of almost nothing.
Yeah.
Now, I think some of the other ones are going to taste like something. Yeah.
I was also aware that the noodles are like a bit spongy.
Yeah.
That's
definitely always been the case.
Is that always the case? I guess I've gotten so used to the noodles in the packaged ramen, and those are not spongy.
Yeah. Well, that's why I sort of convinced myself that maybe the packaged ramen was better because you have to boil it.
Yes.
That probably the noodles have to be like more cooked in order to be able to just soften enough in boiling water poured into a styrofoam cup.
Yeah,
and that might affect the texture. But we have some like better brands coming up.
Okay. So hold on. Let's finish up with Nissin here.
Oh, yeah.
Should we continue with?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking about how to cheese plate these. Yeah, let's do this one next. And this one is recommended to microwave. So I split these out into two groups. This is the microwave side and this is the pour in hot water side.
Okay.
And there are boiling water directions, but it says recommended to microwave. Okay, so first of all, this is the cup noodle curry. It is the most popular curry noodle in Japan. It says remove the lid, tip or shake cup to move seasoning powder to one side so that noodles can be seen. Want to do that?
Oh, yeah. I want to see the noodles.
Uh-huh.
Is it important that I make eye contact with them before we begin?
Before?
Well, because it says so that noodles can be seen.
Like, Yeah.
Is it important that I make eye contact?
It's important to the noodles. Well, yeah. It says, I think it says remove the lid completely on this one.
This smells kind of like dog food meets Japanese curry.
Yeah, I think this is going to be good, though. That's my prediction.
I'm having trouble seeing the noodles.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Matthew, do you see the noodles?
No, not really. So let's just go ahead. Wow, it's got some like real like biscuit things on top.
It looks like kibble.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so it says, and then okay. It says, fill with room temperature water. I'm just going to do cold water from the tap. And microwave, 2.5 minutes. My microwave is usually a little weak, so we'll do 3 minutes and let stand for 1 minute.
Okay, I'm going to use the bathroom.
Okay. Okay, while the curry is heating, I'm going to tell you about the super smart, brilliant thing I did while you were gone.
Oh, wow.
So I wanted to dump out the Nissin chicken cup noodle that we didn't like.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to get the noodles into the compost. I want to try and put the noodles through the garbage disposal. There was a, in the sink.
Wait. You wanted to put them in the compost and through the garbage disposal?
No, I did not want to put them through the garbage disposal.
Okay.
No, I wanted to do both.
Okay.
I wanted to like have a quantum mechanical incident. And so in the sink was a cooling rack that wife of the show Lori used this morning for banana muffins.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, cool, I'll use this as a strainer and pour the noodles onto that and then ferry them to the compost bin. And it worked perfectly and nothing slopped onto the floor at all.
That's great.
Cool.
That is great.
Okay, so I did have run into a little trouble filling the curry cup because like the water was like pooling on top instead of like dripping down into the noodles. But then once I put in more water, the weight of the water forced it down.
Okay.
So,
okay. Did you ever see the noodles? Did you look them in the eye?
Not yet.
Okay.
But they're heating up. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Well, let's keep discussing here. So Nissin has other products in their lineup, right?
So Nissin is the maker of Top Ramen, the most popular ramen brand in American supermarkets. And they now make Top Ramen Bowl, which probably they have for a while. The Cup Noodle Global Favorites, which is what the curry one we're about to try is part of.
Okay.
And also the Hot and Spicy line. And I noticed I got some of these at Safeway, and our Safeway is a pretty regular American Safeway. And like there is a really nice selection of cup noodles in the Asian food aisle.
Okay. Okay.
Still looks terrifying.
God, that looks awful.
So I stopped at 6 cup noodles. I could have gone really wild.
Oh, this is styrofoam.
Yeah. Right. It seems like exactly the same cup as the previous one that said do not microwave. So.
Huh.
But I did.
Okay. Nissin is a Japanese company. It
yes.
has factories, presumably, in North America.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think this curry one is also made in North America.
Okay. What about other brands? I mean, it seems to me that Nissin is no longer necessarily the best.
Right. So
if it ever was.
I think the one that's become like the favorite among connoisseurs is Nongshim brand. And like Korean brands now really like dominate the better cup noodle market.
Ah, okay.
So all of the rest of what we got here is Korean.
Okay.
And some of them made in the US and some imported from Korea.
So I've definitely seen this brand that is black and red that has the word Shin on it in big capital letters. Is that made by Nongshim?
Yeah. Yeah, Shin Ramyun is like their basic one. And I got the Shin Black. Why did I get it?
That sounds like it's going to be really good.
I hope so. I think I didn't do a good job of making this curry noodle. Or they
I
didn't
think,
do a good job.
I think they didn't do a good job of making it. That looks like, oh, don't burn your mouth for that.
It smells pretty good.
Okay.
All right, it's all right.
Oh, it does smell pretty good.
Some of the noodles have not gotten fully hydrated, but it gives it a nice little crunch.
This is not...
I want to just kind of sip the broth, because I think the broth is going
to
be okay.
Okay, I'll pass it back to you when I'm done. But I'm going to blow on this, because if there's one thing I don't feel like sacrificing my tongue for, it's the heat of a cup noodles.
Yeah. Should we like get some of these going at the same
yes,
time?
Let's
because
do
otherwise
it.
We're gonna be, it's going to be like 5 minutes every time. Minutes of us blabbering every time we want to try a new noodle.
Okay.
So let me tell you what else we've got here, and then we'll start eating them. So got a couple from Paldo brand. I've got the Gom Tang beef and vegetable and the Tumsase stir-fried ramen spicy. I'm very excited for that
one. And how did you choose these? Like, I don't necessarily know what these words refer to, like Gom Tang beef and vegetable.
I went to H Mart. I got a couple of brands that I recognize that I've seen before, like the Shin Black and the Neoguri spicy seafood, and then just a couple that looked appealing because it said spicy or it had like a creamy-looking broth. What do you think of the curry?
You know, it's a little better than I thought it would be.
Okay.
My feeling is that the aftertaste is kind of like flat.
Yeah.
Like it needs fat somehow.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I do enjoy sipping the broth. Do I love it? No.
This all is making me feel oddly really comforted, hot. Though.
Yeah.
There's something really comforting about holding that warm styrofoam cup. It's like if we're going to... Yeah. If we're going to destroy the ozone layer, like holding a warm styrofoam cup is a nice way to die.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know what that little like nubbly bit is, but it's not bad. Potato. Okay. It's dried potato.
Dried potato.
Yeah,
okay.
I would eat this.
Okay. Yeah, I think I would eat it too.
Okay. How about if you do the fill with hot water ones, which are these two, and I'll do the microwave ones, which are these two.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and do and taste them all.
Cooking instructions.
Yeah, I mean,
Instruction de cuisson. Ouvrir le couvercle à moitié. Ajouter la base de soupe.
Oh, wow. Some listeners
et l'eau bouillante jusqu'à la ligne à l'intérieur. Refermez le couvercle et laissez reposer 3 minutes. Retirez le couvercle, remuez et dégustez. Picard. Les surgelés. Okay, here we go. Okay, so this is the... Oh, I've got both Paldo ones. Oh, this has a packet in it. The instructions didn't mention the packet. Did cup noodles when we were kids, did it have a packet that you had to...
No.
No, it was always just like the flavoring was just sitting there waiting.
The Shin Black has 2 packets.
Wow, that's...
Isn't Shane Black like a movie director or something?
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, this one you... Whoa, this one's interesting.
Oh, okay.
You only add the soup base and flakes later.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay. Matthew, I've got one that's going to take 3 minutes and one that's going to take 4. How are we going to do this?
I don't know. If only there was a way.
How are we going to do it? Wait.
Some of them are going to get a little soggy.
Okay. Yeah, so sure. These guys that I just did, I think, are paper. So they definitely feel hotter. So, Matthew, the one that's in the bigger... Oh, no. Look, the lid is peeling back.
What do you think that paper lid does in terms of heat retention?
A lot. Now, so, Matthew, the one that's in the bigger thing, the Paldo...
Oh, yeah.
Is it Tumsai?
I'm not sure. It's a Korean word that
stir-fried
I don't know how to pronounce.
Stir-fried ramen spicy. So that one, what happens is we're going to drain the water out.
Oh, nice.
And then we add the sauce packet.
I'm very excited
about
this one.
The spicy lovers packet.
That's us, the spicy lovers.
The spicy lovers.
We got a medal.
Uh-huh. Yep. We are best at blowing.
I feel like this is an episode where like someday when we have like a high maintenance episode like this, where we're like cooking a bunch of things and this is like real cooking.
This is a pretty high maintenance episode.
We should see if we can get producer Abby to like come over and like prep.
I think we'd have to pay her more, but she would be deserving.
Okay.
You know, it's you know, whether we want to spend our money.
You think she would charge like a surcharge?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. To be in our presence for sure. I would. Okay. So.
Got one more to go in the mic-o.
Okay. We've got about 1:15 left on the Gom Tang. So, Matthew, I was recently on a Hawaiian Airlines flight. We went to Hawaii for June spring break, and we were flying from, this flight was from Honolulu to Seattle. And there was a family next to me, and I think that what the mom was watching were Japanese game shows the whole way. So I think it was a Japanese family. At one point, I heard her ask for noodles from the flight attendant. And I was like, what is she about to get? Like, I was not aware we could have noodles. And the guy came back with 2 containers of Maruchan instant lunch. And,
nice.
And you know, his little like credit card machine. and rang her up. And it turns out that on Hawaiian Airlines, it is like a basic thing that you can always get Maruchan instant lunch for $4.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I have been on Hawaiian Airlines one time going to Japan.
I loved that this woman had what felt to me like insider knowledge. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, that's so cool. Like, she ordered off the secret menu.
Yeah, totally.
Like, did she get her noodles animal style?
I was going to say, she got them doggy style. I'm so sorry. I don't know what's happening to me today. We're going to edit this part out.
No, we're not.
Okay, Matthew, this...
I don't even know if like the mic picked up when you said she got her noodles doggy style.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for repeating that.
Okay, I've got the neoguri spicy seafood.
Okay, I've got the gomtang beef and vegetable flavor made by Paldo. Oh, God, this does not smell good. I mean, do you think that beef was just, like, waved over the, like, through the room in which this powder was made?
Because that's really good.
Smell this.
Okay, I just tasted the spicy seafood, and I really like it. Interesting.
Oh, the spicy seafood actually smells like dried shrimp or something?
Yeah, okay, I'm excited. No, I'm excited to try this beef one that kind of, it just kind of smells like negative space.
Okay, I'm going to try to find a way to drain all water from the cup. This feels like a stunt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. We do not have workers' comp.
I mean, what if I were trying to do this, like, in my office or something?
I think if you were trying to do the one where you have to drain the noodles in the office, like, you'd, like, try and, like, get an intern to do it.
I'm focusing. I can't respond to you right now.
Hmm. No, I don't think I like this beef and vegetable one.
Do you even understand where beef is associated with it, or does it just feel like...
I think it's supposed to be like a beef bone kind of thing,
false
but like...
promises?
The flavor isn't right for me. But the spicy seafood I like a lot. The noodle texture on that one is the best I've had so far.
Here, Matthew, could you add, so I can taste, you're supposed to add the spicy lovers to... and you're supposed to stir well.
I will.
Okay, I'm going to taste this spicy seafood. All right, what is this guy? This is Nong Shim spicy seafood flavor noodle soup. Okay. Yeah, this smells really good.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of, maybe it has a bit of like a dashi smell.
Yeah.
That kind of dried fish.
Ooh, smells spicy.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay, I need to mix this really well. This feels like more of a project than a cup noodle should be. This spicy ramen one, because you had to drain the water and then like mixing it up is a pain.
Oh, this is tasty.
Yeah, the neoguri spicy seafood.
Part of it though is that it's really spicy.
Yeah. Hmm.
What do you think? You feeling pretty good about that effort you just put in?
Okay, so I'm tasting the spicy lovers. The noodle texture is not great. It's soft. Which I guess is just kind of what you're going to expect from a cup noodle.
Mm-hmm.
The sauce is really spicy, and I really like it.
Mm. I really like this neoguri.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying that approximately right? Ooh, okay. Oh, the God, this does smell spicy. Smells like spicy ketchup.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Looks like there's some sort of seaweed in here.
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, I feel like there's some like gochujang in the spicy lovers because I get getting that like fermented character, but it's spicier than a gochujang, or that at least than most gochujang I've had.
Mmm,
is that good?
Wow, that's really spicy.
Uh-huh.
This is the kind of heat that would sometimes give me hiccups. Do you ever get hiccups from really spicy food?
No, just from laughing at your jokes.
The first time this ever happened to me was at Mission Chinese Food in San Francisco, like 10 years ago. I got the hiccups and then I felt deeply nauseated. It was so good and it was so spicy.
Yeah, I like this.
I prefer the Nong Shim.
The neoguri.
Neoguri spicy seafood soup.
There's one more in the microwave.
Wow, I'm on fire from that. The stir-fried ramen. I think I need a cracker. Do you have any saltines?
No.
Woo!
Yeah, it's real spicy.
It is really spicy. I'm glad that you think it's spicy, too.
Oh,
I don't.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm cleansing my palate.
Yeah, I think we kind of fell down on the cheese plating job here. Because I think this last one is going to be much less spicy, and so it might register as
what
like...
What is that last
this
one?
This is the Shin Black with beef bone broth.
Okay. I have a feeling also that I messed up by not tasting this one, the watery beef, earlier.
That's what it's called.
It smells terrible. I don't want to eat this.
It's not. It doesn't taste bad, but it doesn't taste like much.
No, I don't like that. It tastes like it smells, which is like, like the contents of a vacuum cleaner.
The Shin Black is very tasty.
Okay.
Overall, I would say the Neoguri spicy seafood is my favorite.
Okay.
But the Shin Black is very good. I like the one that's too spicy. I can go for that sort of thing sometimes. So I feel like we ended up with three. Well, I ended up with like three that I really like and three that are kind of eh.
This is not bad. I think if I'd had this one before the spicy seafood and the spicy.
Sip some of the broth.
It's really hot, though.
That's right. I know you're afraid of dental emergencies.
No, it's that I burn my tongue really easily.
Yeah. Okay, what do I want more
of? I don't
of?
Like the smell of this, though.
Okay.
There's something to the smell of the noodles in some of these that I don't care for.
It's probably that they've got a lot of kansui or whatever they call it in other languages to like keep them a little bouncy and springy.
What's
but like
that?
it's lye water. It's not lye. It's an alkaline solution.
I don't like whatever the smell is coming off of that. I'm gonna try the spicy seafood again.
Yeah, the spicy seafood, it feels like just like the most balanced all around to me.
Also, the noodles look different, don't they?
Yeah,
they have a tiny bit of a translucency to them that makes them look a little bit less.
Oh yeah, I
instant.
Like the Shin Black a lot. Okay, I'm gonna one more bite of the super spicy.
No, for me, the runaway winner is the spicy seafood.
Mm-hmm.
That is good stuff.
Yeah, I think they had that one at Safeway.
I would have never thought to buy this, like, spicy seafood flavor.
It doesn't have many chunks, right?
Yeah, but I don't think I want, I don't want freeze-dried chunks. Okay, so what's our take? What have we learned?
Well, I'm wondering, like, am I gonna buy these? And I'm not sure.
If you worked in an office.
Yeah.
Would you buy these?
I would be concerned about like subjecting coworkers to like my noodle aromas.
Yeah, I think the spicy seafood is a real aroma situation.
But they're probably used to my aromas by now if I've been working there for a while.
I bet you would come in with a lot of aromas, so you're probably right.
Here's the thing for me, a noted homebody.
Okay.
I started making that TikTok ramen that I've mentioned before.
Tell
last
me about
year
it.
Or whatever. It's like an Indonesian style recipe where you cook some ramen without the seasoning packet, and then you make a sauce that's like chili flakes, brown sugar, soy sauce, and then you like cook an egg and mix that through, and it's really tasty and takes about 6 minutes to make. And so because I'm always home at lunchtime, I'm more likely to, and always have those ingredients on hand, I'm more likely to make something like that, like a doctored packaged ramen, than go for a cup noodle. Having said that, I do think some of these are really tasty. Maybe I just don't like lead a cup noodle lifestyle the way I used to when I was like seven. When I was seven and working in an office in accounts receivable.
I think that part of what is working for me about the Neoguri one is that it has more of a smell. Like, it has more spices and stuff. Like,
yeah.
It almost smells, well, it smells a bit funky from the seafood.
Yeah.
But it also has a bit of like a kimchi funk or like that kind of like spicy chili funk. And so for me, that elevates it above other cup noodles that just kind of are warm things to hold at the end of the world.
And there are other flavors of neoguri also.
Oh, what does neoguri mean?
I think it's some kind of monster. Let's look this up.
Okay.
I think you're some kind of monster.
I know I am. I am impressed by how spicy these are.
Yeah.
I mean, I did not expect that.
Ah, I was sort of right. Neoguri is the Korean word for raccoon dog, what's called a tanuki in Japanese. So it's like a critter.
Okay.
Not a monster. But, okay.
Okay.
I think we learned a lot. I have a question for you. If you worked in an office, would you rather work in accounts payable or accounts receivable?
Sorry, one is invoicing, one is receiving.
Yeah, this is what qualifies to me as like starting a bit.
Oh, okay.
I don't have any sense of where it's going to go.
I think I'd want to send out the invoices.
Oh, okay. I feel just the opposite.
I do some invoicing for my teaching. I send invoices through QuickBooks. And
Not sponsored by QuickBooks.
I really enjoy the system I have for sending invoices and then like keeping track of whether they've been paid or not.
Okay. I feel like if I was working at a company though, like I want to be in payable. I want to make people happy by like sending them a check on time. So why don't you invoice me?
Oh, payable. I get it now. I thought it was just like you sat there and received the money.
I think that's receivable. I think you send the invoices and then receive the money.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah.
God, I am sorry.
Wait, have you been sending invoices and then sending people the money after sending the invoice?
No, but I seriously do not know corporate language.
I don't either. That's the only thing I know.
Do not. Like, my spouse right now is getting a certificate in data analytics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand.
Sounds like they're bound for the C-suite. That's a corporate term I picked up at work.
I remember when Ash was working in their last corporate job, they mentioned something about the org chart.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, why is it that like you guys can't say the word organization or like staff?
Staff chart.
Like, what the hell? Why is it an org chart?
I don't know. It sounds cool to me.
Reorg. We're doing a reorg.
Everything I know about corporate life, I learned serving tea at Facebook.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to segments because this episode is long.
Okay.
I think probably like a lot of waiting for noodles to soften is going to get cut out by producer Abby.
Let's hope so. Okay. Matthew, would you read our spilled mail?
I would love to. This is from listener Amadis. Hi, longtime listener Amadis here. First, a comment. I recently re-listened to the M&M's episode and wonder if you ever attained your dream of having a bowl of custom M&M's with your faces on them so you could eat real M's behind M&M's. This must be a thing we said on the M&M's episode.
I don't remember.
The answer is no. We have not realized any of our dreams, including that one.
Yeah.
My question is something, and this is going to get serious, we're about to have a turn. Okay. My question is something I've been trying to figure out myself for a little while. Mm. I like trying new recipes and cooking styles, and I love that you both do too, from all types of cuisines. But when you're thinking about purchasing a cookbook, do you do any research or anything to learn more about the chef or person behind it to determine whether you want to support them and their work by buying their book? Mm. Maybe this is an attempt to learn more about where appropriation and respect/enthusiasm intersect and how people talk about it. There's also the dynamic of a lot of white guys, no disrespect, Matthew, you're wonderful. Taking up a lot of space, but it's obviously not a hard and fast rule just to not buy cookbooks from white men.
Yeah.
Do you each do anything yourselves to investigate that sort of thing before purchases? Thank you both for everything you do. I love each of your writing careers and this perfectly engineered podcast, PEP.
Oh, thank you. Okay. This is a terrific question, and I'm glad that we are being asked this question. In order to answer it, I'm going to shift it a little bit because I haven't bought cookbooks in a long time.
Mm-hmm. I just bought two.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh.
But I do use recipes from the internet all the time. And I think like a lot of white Americans, it has only occurred to me in the past 2 to 4 years that I really do want to do that research and need to do that research before I choose a recipe. So, you know, I think in the past, if I were looking for, I don't know, some sort of, let's say, a Vietnamese noodle recipe,
yeah,
I might have gone looking for it on the internet and found a recipe from Bon Appetit and just used it.
Right.
Now I find myself much more inclined to go to either like a Vietnamese YouTube channel,
sure,
or to a Vietnamese food blog. I feel like I've learned a lot from learned a lot about Japanese food from just one cookbook.
Sure.
And in the past, you know, to be perfectly frank, it would have never occurred to me that I needed to step outside of the box of white cookbook authors and actually go to the source.
I think This is a big question. Like, I do think, both, you know, Molly and I grew up kind of in the era of like coming of age and learning about food of like, you know, if you want a Mexican recipe, you turn to Rick Bayless or Diana Kennedy.
Exactly.
Right? Neither of whom are Mexican. And I think some progress has been made with that. And like a lot of this like is work that has to be done by the publishing industry because they remain like the gatekeepers, especially in the world of cookbooks, which hasn't been affected as much by self-publishing as some other areas of publishing.
Yeah.
But of course, like, you know, they respond to demand from consumers and, you know, promoters like us. Mm-hmm. You know, I have thought about this more in terms of, well, first of all, let me talk about the two cookbooks that I recently bought.
Okay.
Because like, I think it might be kind of like illustrative of my muddled thinking on the subject. Okay. I bought two new Japanese cookbooks, both of which I really like. One is called Tokyo Up Late. By Brendan Liu, who I don't really know anything about. Mm-hmm. And one is called Your Home Izakaya by Tim Anderson. And Tim Anderson, I do know a little about because I have cooked from almost all. I think this is his fifth Japanese cookbook. He is a white American guy who has spent a lot of time in Japan and getting deeply into Japanese food, kind of like someone else I can think of. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that doesn't necessarily make him a good guy, and I don't know anything about him. So I think, first of all, we're kind of conflating the issue of cultural appropriation and like whether someone is a bad person, which can go together, but don't always.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, so I don't know anything about either of these cookbook authors as people. Mm-hmm. I know that when I read both of these books, they clearly have a very deep understanding and closeness to Japanese food and culture. Mm-hmm. Is there like a whiff of cultural appropriation about the fact that one of them is written by a white guy and the other one is written by a guy of Asian descent who I don't think is Japanese based on his name, although that could be an unfair conclusion to jump to? Yes.
It's really tricky because it's obviously difficult to figure out how to talk about this stuff because it is so muddled. This book that you're holding up here, this Your Home Izakaya, is gorgeous and looks, you know, at first, like it looks truly authoritative. And it's really tricky because we don't know the story of how it got made or whether there are other proposals out there for a similar book that got overlooked.
Right. So I feel personally like not always comfortable with the amount of space that I take up. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that was a good way that for listener Amadis to put it. You know, I think about this kind of more because I've been reading more fiction lately. And so I think it's a question that goes far beyond cookbooks. You know, this is something that I haven't really like said publicly because it's something that like I don't know like how okay it is to express it this way, but it's something that I've come to feel pretty strongly. So let's just put it out there and see if anyone cares. I think for the most part, if you are a you know, a cis white man and you are thinking about writing a book, think about doing something else instead. Because what you are, unless you have like a very unique perspective.
I have a question. Would you say this, do you think like this across the board?
I think as a good starting place.
Okay.
The reason I came to this was because I wrote the manuscript for a novel that I was pretty proud of, where the main character, the point of view character, was a Chinese American girl. Mm-hmm. And I talked about this with wife of the show, Lori, and with several other people, including you, and came to the conclusion was like, not only would it be cultural appropriation for me to write that, but like maybe more important than that, I just don't really know what it's like to grow up as a Chinese American girl. And I'm not going to do a good job of portraying that, even if I go in with the best intentions. Mm-hmm. So what are my options at that point? Like, you know, I can write a book where a white guy growing up is the center of the book and maybe is like trying to do his best. Mm-hmm. Fine. But mm-hmm. I'm not really interested in that. Uh-huh. Like, I don't want to write that book. We've got enough of those books.
And I think that there are a lot of people that would respond to what you're saying. Like, well, Matthew, just because you step aside doesn't mean that a Chinese American woman is going to get to publish her novel. Well, but that's not the point.
Right.
The point is that like what you are in control of is that you can choose to be silent.
Yeah.
And to not actively move into that space that we don't know whether it can be occupied by someone else or not, but you can choose whether you try to occupy it.
Right. So I don't know. That was like a big mess because like my thoughts about this are a big mess. But
no,
I appreciate listener Amadis, you asking the question and giving us an opportunity to express our mess.
Yeah. And I just want to say, too, that I feel like I am very much trying to learn how to talk about this and what I think about it. I mean, like, for instance, I feel like I learned so much about Chinese food from Fuchsia Dunlop,
yeah,
who is a white British food writer.
Yeah.
And I think that I can do better. So, yeah, I think that I'm really glad we're having these conversations. And also, this is part of what has made me not want to write about food anymore.
Yeah.
Is that it? I just feel like a lot of the foods that I love to eat are not mine to write about.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way. And like, you know, the fact that we do a show about food, like I've sometimes thought, like, I wish we could sort of like set aside the food at this point and just like do a show about like a couple of friends being dumbasses.
I think that is kind of what we're doing.
That is kind of what we do. But it, like, you know, it puts us in a difficult spot because we want to be inclusive about what kind of foods we talk about.
Sure.
But that means being inclusive of foods that we, you know, didn't grow up with and aren't part of our culture, mm-hmm, and need to like bring on a guest to talk about, or, you know, kind of fumble through it. You know, it can affect the tone of the show. And like, you know, we are trying our best, but don't always do a great job of that, I think.
Yeah. It is a work in progress. And I think for the most part, we just hope to do no harm.
Yeah.
As we are bumbling our way to figuring out what is fair and respectful and allows the right people to be in the spotlight.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
Okay.
Want to move on to a now but wow?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a first. This now but wow that I'm recommending was created by the same person who suggested this episode.
Really?
Yes.
Wait, did you hold on? Did you think about this?
I didn't just realize it now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
So this episode was suggested
but
by
you
listener.
You aren't just like, you know, like puffing up Chihiro.
Have you tried Chihiro puffs? Oh, like a tit for tat kind of like
yeah,
payola type of thing.
Well, yeah, except what I was saying doesn't make any sense because basically we owe this whole episode to Chihiro, and Chihiro, your newsletter is great, and Matthew's about to talk about it.
Okay, so listener Chihiro Tomioka covers Japanese cooking and travel with a particular focus on sweets and gifts in her Substack newsletter, which is just called Chihiro's Newsletter. I subscribe to it. It is free. You get it at naranomatcha.substack.com. We'll link to it in the show notes. And I like it because the writing is beautiful. She's a professional writer, and it covers like areas of Japanese food that I don't know very well but would love to learn more about, like sweets and gifts. So she had a recent newsletter about namagashi, which is like a particular type of traditional Japanese sweets, and it contained the following delightful footnote, which I'm going to read in its entirety.
Okay.
I love my hometown, but boy, is it a trek from New York. You must fly to Narita, 14 hours, take the Narita Express to Shinagawa, 1 hour, take the Shinkansen to Kyoto, 2 hours, and then the express Kintetsu to Yamato Koriyama, one hour. That's the itinerary. You're welcome.
Excellent.
So Chihiro's newsletter on Substack. It's great.
Fantastic. Well, our producer is Abby Circatella.
Please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
And if you would like to talk with other Spilled Milk listeners, you can do that on our subreddit, which is reddit.com/r/everythingspilledmilk.
And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
Bumbling my way into your ear holes.
Oh. Which I think the best way to the heart is through the ear holes, personally.
I agree.
I'm Matthew Hamster Burton.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
Oh my God, I'm such an idiot.